brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys.
Get ready to learn everything you ever wanted to know and a whole lot that you didn't. It's time for a Chats episode.
Hey, welcome to this Chats episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. I am good old boy Mike, and I'm joined here today with good old gal Carrie Ann.
Good morning.
And good old boy Sparky.
Top of the morning to you.
It's really nice here in the basement, you know, today. So our chat segments are all about people behind the products and services that we talk about here on Sip, Suds, and Smokes. Today's episode celebrates our co-hosts on the 10th season of Sips, Suds, and Smokes. So the co-hosts that we're chatting with today are good old gal Carrie Ann and good old boy Sparky. And if we have time today, we actually have an interesting job opportunity on our topic worth discussing.
I think we should skip it because I've applied and I don't really want a lot of people knowing.
Do you not have that kind of snow gear? Is that what you're saying, Carrie Ann?
No, I'm saying I don't want anybody else to like start applying for this job. I need my chances to be high.
I think you have an affinity for not counting penguins. I think that is probably the issue, you know, for sure. It's like you don't want to go there.
It's the penguin.
And open toe shoes.
Open toe shoes. Ooh. Yeah.
It's a very interesting job. I hope we get to it. So it's a pretty funny story. So we'll charge right into it. Do you guys remember how we met each other? Crickets.
I think it was it a Sud show? Was that the first?
When I met you?
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Probably.
But Mike, I think we met at the state fair.
Yeah. So
I feel like a musical should break out.
I don't have a button for that, but Carrie Ann was coordinating hosting a homebrew competition at the state fair, and
that was a brilliant idea.
Yeah. Oh my god!
And I was not brewing beer, but I was working with the local homebrewers at the time, and I was just kind of helping. You know, kind of steward things. And so we were collecting a lot of the beer and then we were staging it and then taking it to where the competition was actually at the state fair.
In my basement.
Yeah. And you and I ran into each other and it was just a chance encounter. I was really kind of focused on everything and I didn't judge in that home competition. But I had a lot of friends, you know, that we had. I think Steve was actually, you know, head of Music City Brewers, you know, around then. John Malone, I think, came a little bit later, who was actually here on the show for a number of years.
John helped a lot. And Phil, I don't know, there were a bunch of guys that popped in because I had no clue what I was doing.
Absolutely nothing has changed, by the way.
It's cool. Just a different year.
I mean, the idea is what's important. Shut up.
Is there a theme song to that? Because it sure does sound like it.
You know? You just have to be good at delegation.
Yes, I agree. You drink that beer. Write a number down between 1 and 27. Sparky, you remember how we met?
Was it because of the hot chicken? Is that kind of what...
Was that? I can't believe that was your first show, was it?
Well, I think it was, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's, I had done a episode for the Food Network for Hot Chicken on a show for Eating Grinch Band.
Oh, that would be interesting. I didn't put that together.
I think that was, yeah, and I think I posted the clip or something in one of the Hot Chicken groups, and then you reached out to me about that.
Oh, wow. What a chance encounter.
For the less informed, there are a number of Hot Chicken groups available to join. And listen,
but only one that really counts.
Yeah, there's the OG.
There is the one.
Much like hot chicken, many are imitating, but there's only one worthy. True. So, you know, that's kind of how it's going to go. Yeah. So, I mean, when you first came on, Sparky, how many episodes do you think you'd be on?
Oh, first of all, I thought when you reached out to me, I thought like, oh, this guy, what is he up to? What kind of racket is this? I was just kind of like, hey, does anybody does anybody know who the heck this guy is? Is this legit?
So I'm trying to think what season that was. I want to say that was probably like season three, somewhere around there. Yeah.
And then Kendall, Kendall knew you and was like, no, he's legit. It's cool.
He's legit.
It's cool.
You
cool.
trust Kendall. That's awesome.
Yeah. I was about to say, wow. There's a questionable decision if I've ever heard one.
It's only gotten worse since then.
So I need to let me write that down, right? A check to Kendall. Okay. Yeah. All right. So,
and then you roped me into making probably one of the worst decisions of my life. Amazing how quickly that happened.
Well, you know, that was a great day, and we'll get to talk about that episode, a little bit later. But there were so many tips that I remember walking away from, you know, out of that episode that was like, wow, I didn't put those things together. So, and I will give up some of those, you know, pro tips for sure, because I would not have survived the day without any of your assistance.
It was the night afterwards that's the worst part.
So, Carrie Ann, how many episodes did you think you were going to be on?
Probably just the one. I feel like I was invited because I was bringing someone that you were more interested in.
I'm with her.
You say that like, and I'm very disappointed the plan didn't come through. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Just when you thought you were out, he pulled you back in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had Dan Gardner from Four Roses was my entree.
I was on the Four Roses show. Was that it? Yeah. So that was the one we recorded at the Whiskey House. Is that right?
The old.
I was going to say what iteration? Yeah. Like the one that was in a trailer.
Whiskey House one.
Yeah, one where you didn't walk to the corner of the room, otherwise you'd be in the basement. Yeah. So
those fours were scary.
Well, we've talked about a lot of things on this show, and there are some, you know, memorable moments for sure that we'll talk about. We are drinking today as well. And I'm actually sipping on the one thing. Well, you guys, well, I'll get some glasses at the first break, but we're actually drinking this seaweed gin from Voya. So
on purpose?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Oh, good God.
Carrie Ann, I feel like.
So what's your reason for that?
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of bad things that happen with Mike and Jen and us. Like, I feel like that's a thread.
It is. Yeah. Wow. I just stuck my nose in there.
Oh, we'll let Sparky smell it at least and get his first reaction.
Sparky.
You know.
Oh, God.
In a similar reaction. All right.
So there.
So I need to pull something else for us to sip on today. That'll be a rather quick conversation for sure. Well, I asked you both a little bit about
some of
your favorite moments here on Sips, Suds, and Smokes. And what I love is that you had a lot of them. And so I got Fielder's Choice, you know, to talk about. And I really love this first one from Carrie Ann. It's from an episode called The Worst Idea Ever.
Mike is really good at The Worst Idea Ever.
The Worst Idea Ever. Zima Gold is the full name of the episode. And it is part of our series from the Summer of Questionable Decisions. And Dave, who produces those episodes, came up with this idea that we were going to talk about Zima. And he decided to go old school and actually combine Jolly Ranchers, throwing them into Zima in various flavors. And there were like five flavors. Although if you listen to the episode, I'm not really sure that there was a lot of distinction from one to the next. No. So it was just a super bad idea the whole way. And so here is the clip of Carrie Ann in the middle of this episode. And so she is sharing. So everybody had to bring a story of their chance encounter with Zima. And so here is Carrie Ann's.
Did you more when you were maybe 18 or 16 or
so? I had some 12? Zima experimentation in college.
Nice.
Where's this going?
Tell me more.
Is it experimented that kind of show?
With the Zima? I dipped my foot in the Zima pond. Yeah, so we did drink Zima in college, and our additive of choice was Pixie Sticks.
Which I loved Pixie Sticks.
So it just takes the dissolving work out of it.
Yeah.
It's done for you. Yeah.
Does it foam over
it
more?
It does. It does. And if you were doing something that perhaps was slightly hallucinogenic, could make for a good time.
Sure.
There was Zima.
I did not see that twist.
Hypothetically, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
I heard stories.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I mean, you know.
Zima, I think my friend did it.
Zima and Mushroom.
It's a good thing no one
And right after that, they went to Nightmare Before Christmas in the theater. Yep.
Wow.
Snuck in some Zimas and pixie sticks.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. That's enough of that.
That is. I'm sure there's a 12-step program for it.
That's how we used to party back in the 90s, folks.
Apparently.
Zima and pixie sticks and creepy animation.
And a little...
A little something-something.
Some... Yeah. Not citric acid.
Ah, yes.
Oh, God. You know, nobody's ever going to have a story like that about Topo Chico. No. Kids these days.
Mm-mm. There's no LSD in the Topo Chico.
No. No. It's not a good mixer.
Jesus.
And what? So, what
that
was.
That wasn't me.
Oh, yeah. It was totally you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You thought about it in advance, too. Yeah.
It's the first ever Sip, Suds, and Smokes deepfake. Well done.
And what was so funny about that episode, at least for me, was I was actually there on the production day. And Carrie Ann was just, she was like, I want to be on that episode. I want to be on that episode. I want to be on that episode. And the whole time,
she
yes, you did.
You made a terrible decision.
And I'm across the room sitting, there's a couch in that part of the where we record. And the whole time, Carrie Ann is looking back over at me like, I'm going to get even. I don't know. This is so evil. Why am I sitting here? This is so bad.
But you asked for it.
Yes, she did.
I don't
yes.
remember that part.
Oh, yeah.
Receipts. You
know, do you want to hear that tape? That part of the tape? Yeah. You know, where you voluntarily said, absolutely, I want to do this.
Let's do this.
You know, for sure. Well, we'll get to Sparky's clip right after the break here.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, welcome back to Sip, Suds, and Smokes. On today's chat segment, I'm chatting with good old gal Carrie Ann and good old boy Sparky, and we're kind of going through some of our favorite clips from Sip, Suds, and Smokes. So we were talking a little bit more about the Zima show, and Sparky was telling us that we had a friend who we ended up liquidating celery, just ran into a medical issue and couldn't drink anymore. And he actually had some vintage Zima. Mm-hmm. So we didn't use any vintage Zima. That would have been really bad.
Is that the born on date?
Is that
what makes it?
That's the date vintage. That you should just drop that in the trash can. That's yeah. what that date, you know, was.
It wasn't clear anymore. I will tell you that. That's an interesting detail.
So I really love this next episode that Sparky was on, and I did not recall that was the first day that you were on Sip, Suds, and Smokes was the Hot Chicken Show. So this background on this episode is, I was really trying to think of some alternative topics for our Smokes segments, and there were a lot of people I knew that were hot chicken aficionados, and I really thought this would be very interesting to do something that nobody's ever done and do a blind tasting of hot chicken. And I came up with two episode ideas that we recorded at Party Fowl in Nashville, Tennessee. It's one of the few places in town that actually is a restaurant. You can sit down. They actually have a full bar. There are some other places that are now available that are like that. But at the time,
yeah,
that was kind of a bit of a novelty.
They had a bathroom, which was like, that really kind of put them above most of the other hot chicken places.
There were so many things that happened during that production day. But so this is the second episode that Sparky is on called You Are an Idiot. And we're actually tasting the hottest of the hot. And it's an audience participation show that we had as well. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that. But so here's the clip featuring Sparky.
Our list, it was kind of different than the others. It stood out as a super hot chicken, but tasted so good.
Yeah, absolutely, Kendall. I thought that Poultrygeist was the perfect balance of flavor and pain. When it comes to Death Row at Shakes, it's the product of a lifetime of bad decisions. There's no other way.
Evolution
to put it.
Of evil.
It is. It is pure hatred on chicken. God rest your souls. I'm so sorry.
Do you think there might have been a labeling error because Death Row is so much more hotter than A, which was Execution?
It has to be. I mean, that's the only thing I can think
negative.
Of.
Negative. No, there are no mistakes in this blind tasting. So.
but Mike, I'm from Alabama, and we never make mistakes in Alabama.
Yeah, that would be negatory.
Roll Tide.
You've procreated in Alabama, and that just does not work for us. I know that we're going to be banned once again. It's from Alabama. So I'm glad that it's a perpetual moment where we can once again decide that there are always questionable decisions made in Alabama. Well,
wow. Uh-huh.
So what was the audience participation part of that was just an absolute riot. So I came up with this scheme, what we call it the Subsistence Smokes twist, which was after somebody... they were tasting these hottest of the hot with us. And before they could take a drink of something, they had to say the Pledge of Allegiance successfully. And if they screwed it up, they just had to start over again. And there was this one, just person after person just kept on screwing it up because they were in so
they
much pain and agony.
Yeah.
They were
just feeling it. First of all, we haven't said the Pledge of Allegiance since we were in sixth grade. I don't know that I could do it right now.
Yeah. Well, that and the people that were on that show definitely, you know, couldn't do it, you know, very well either. And it was just, we were howling and laughing, you know. And there was this one guy, Joey, that came up and he took this huge chunk, you know, of 800 degrees, and, you know, out of the, and he just shoved it in his mouth. And he was just like, he couldn't talk. It was just, it swept his breath away.
It's always so awesome when somebody comes up with machismo and then just watching them just completely like the air right out of a tire.
Oh, yeah. It was hilarious. Great episodes. I really love both of those. And a lot of good memories. So the pro tip that I walked away from that day that
chug
I still
Pepto before you
start. No, actually that's not
pre-gaming.
That is not
pre-gaming with Pepto.
Yeah. So Sparky, tell them what the pro tip is that you drink with hot chicken.
Oh, well, pickle juice, like, and or chocolate milk are like the two, like, that's the yep. only thing that will save your life if you find yourself in that situation.
So it's really funny. Every time I go to 400 degrees and I walk in, I actually have a quart of chocolate milk with me. And she always looks at me and she goes, Mike, I see you got your milk with you. You know, it's like, yeah.
You should sell it there. So, well,
I think so. Yeah.
What you never knew about the second part of that story is I love my wife. She is a beautiful person. And every time I make a terrible decision, she doesn't judge me. She's like, oh, honey, poor, you know, bless you, even when it's my fault. So, after that show, I went to a friend's house and couldn't get out of a hammock. I was in so much pain. I probably drank half a gallon of chocolate milk. Nothing helped me. And that night, I spent the entire night on the floor of my bathroom, crawling to the toilet. Didn't know whether I should throw up or explode. Yeah, like, I knew if I threw up, it was going to be way worse. So then I would just like, I would pass out again on the floor of the bathroom, just wake up covered in sweat, crawl back to the toilet, not know which way to go with things. And then the next morning, like Abby saw me on the cold, cold tile of the bathroom. And she was like, oh, baby, are you okay? And I was like, I did this to myself.
I think it sucks.
Well,
don't try this at home.
Yeah.
No, it was a bad day.
Such a great day.
Sweating buckets.
So tell us a little bit about your day jobs. And I love this question because both of you have done an awful lot. So, Sparky, why don't you go first there?
Yeah, man. So I spent a couple of decades in video games. I worked for a big Fortune 500 game company, and then somehow ended up into the beer distribution world for a minute. That was an interesting time in my life. And now I work with mental health professionals every day. And so I feel like...
Was one a prep for the other?
I feel like this is... life has brought me to right where I need to be now.
Full circle.
Yeah, pretty much.
So you establish what is the prescribed medication that you need as you were working for the beer distributor so that you can work with the mental health community. Is that basically the 1-2 punch there?
There's and does not, it go with pixie sticks?
Yeah, there's not enough meds in the world to save that industry, but them's the breaks.
So Carrie Ann, tell us a little bit about your day jobs.
I don't have a job.
I know.
So Straight Up 615 is my cover. And I just do anything that revolves around talking about whiskey most of the time. So that can be hundreds
nice work
of
if
different
you can get
things.
It. Yeah.
No, corporate gigs are back, and one of those a month, I'm set.
It's nice.
Life is good.
So, you know, I was wondering, what is your favorite thing to do and why? Because, I mean, you do writing, you've been making movies, you've been a competition judge, you're a brand ambassador or a spirits buyer, you're looking fabulous.
Yeah.
And you're
I mean,
also
that is number one.
Enjoy being a co-host on the best radio show on the planet. So of all of those choices and probably four others I didn't mention, you what's know, your favorite thing to do and why?
I love to do education. So, you know, either expelling bourbon bro myths of what they think things are.
Just kind of paused a little too long when she said expelling. Deep pause.
Carrie Ann, actually, that's something I really appreciate about you is your advocacy for women and, you know, in an industry that is just, you know, all white and misogynist. You're like fighting the fight and flying the flag. And I really appreciate that.
Thanks. It's not very popular, but.
No, it's not. No, it's not. But at least there's whiskey.
Yeah. So I do a lot to lift up women in the industry and to, you know, make their voices heard. And there's a lot to talk about right now.
Always, unfortunately. And, you know, what is a topic really shouldn't be a topic, you know, you know, it's really sad that it is taking so long, I think, to find equity, you know, in a wide range of industries and including the ones that we talk about, you know, quite a bit.
Yeah, this is such a, well, y'all know, it's a very, very, very male-dominated industry to be in. And so, you know, I just have to be smarter than the next guy in the room because it's not important that they actually know what they're talking about because... they're men.
Well, you're doing a great job
anyway,
of it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So if you had to pick just one beverage to enjoy the rest of your life, what would it be?
Well, not that seaweed gin.
Well, we hadn't actually tasted it. Maybe on the nose, nope. It's totally different than the palate.
That's not going in my mouth.
All right. If I had a nickel for every single time I heard that.
One thing forever and ever?
Yeah. I'm really curious.
Like a category or just a single thing?
I'll let you go with a category.
I mean, the easy answer would be whiskey, but honestly, it's probably gin.
I agree with that choice. How about you, Sparky?
Yeah, I really...
You like Sparky. He likes gin as well.
A lot.
Just not that gin.
Not that.
Not that gin.
That gin.
That's
not
gin.
The one.
That's a hate crime in a bottle.
Yeah. We'll just rate that up here as a wine. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I find myself gravitating more towards spirits. I think as I get older, I'm losing my metabolism magic powers that I used to have in my 30s,
right?
And you know, now I have to actually pay for what I've done, which sucks. But man, I love gin. I use it as aftershave. I just really like gin an awful lot.
I use it aftershave involuntarily. Yeah. Just, you know.
I'm wondering if that seaweed gin would get rid of the moles in my yard.
Actually, get rid of any moles on you. Actually, I'm pretty sure it'll eat it right away.
It could probably repel small children up to the age of 4 or 5. Yeah. So
I'm really looking for a mole solution.
Just pour
solution.
It in a circle, you know, kind of like
spray it on the lawn.
DM me if you have a good one.
So. I forgot where that's from. We'll grab the bottle over here.
Hell. It's
I want to say it's like the Netherlands or something like
that. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Just go back to making aquavit.
The place that Lutfisk is from.
Well, Carrie Ann, you practically know everyone in the whiskey industry. And so I'd love to hear, you know, what are some of your favorite people? Maybe three. Why are they your favorite, you know?
Jesus. So Jim Rutledge, number one.
Let's just I knew number start. One, you know.
Jim Rutledge is my great guy. Buddy, my friend, my love of my life. The old guys, I guess. I really like enjoy hanging out with the old crew of Kentucky bourbon, especially. And, you know, even some of our older guard in Tennessee. I'd put Steve Nally in that list. Mm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, that's so hard.
You know, I got to hang out with Jim Rutledge one evening. He did a tasting at the Adelicia back, I don't remember, one of 50 different restaurants it was. Mm-hmm. And only like 6 or 7 people showed up it. And I stole like 34 roses crystal glasses. But he was like the least pretentious, the nicest human being. Just salt of the earth. He talked about, we used to make garbage in a plastic bottle, but not anymore. just what a cool guy, man.
I mean, I'm very lucky that these people I can count as friends. I don't wake up on a single holiday that the first text message on my phone isn't from Jim Rutledge wishing me
happy
Valentine's or happy.
What a cool guy.
Whatever. He is. But I just really enjoy like anybody that I can learn from. And, you know, that there's still a whole bunch of people I learn a lot from. So I'm all in on that. I just went up to Penelope in New Jersey, and I don't know exactly what I thought walking in there, but those guys are doing some really cool stuff. They don't make their own whiskey, but they're not, you know, trying to hide that in any way. And so what they are doing is really very interesting. So I'm learning things all the time. I love everybody.
Well, the thing that I always, with Penelope, it reminds me a lot of the early days at Nelson Greenbrier, you know, because they're really choosing a combination of some interesting blends, as well as they're kind of, finishing barrels that, you know, are not always kind of run of the mill. And, you know, it reminds me of some of those early days at Nelson Greenbrier as well, and some of the choices that they're making. So, let's see.
Everyone's name. All the women that I'm in love with.
Just name drop.
I was about to say
Nicole Austin.
I was about to say, I think Nicole would probably make your short
She's
list.
Up on the top. Yeah.
Okay.
There's so many. I love everyone.
Well, it's great that, you know, those relationships, it's always interesting.
Moore.
You know, just walking beside you, you know, many times in a room. And those relationships are just so genuine. And, I've met a lot of these people just vicariously, just being in proximity to you. And it's nice that.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, I've made it the point to actually form relationships with master distillers and people in the whiskey industry, and not, you know, I don't go into them asking for things too often, but when I do, you know, I get a yes, because I'm hopefully giving them
you show up
as much as I ask them for. I don't know, that's too deep.
So I'm gonna give away some insider info on Carrie Ann.
Nope.
Wait.
Oh,
why are you so nervous all of a sudden? You know, you are squirming in that seat like, oh man, what is going on here? All right. So it's the one thing to make sure that I'm tortured sometimes all day long, because actually it's Carrie Ann and my wife.
Oh God.
Listen to the soundtrack from Hamilton all the time in the car. And she turns on the car and every time, you know, it's like, bam, you know, there it is. And you know, it's just overwhelming.
It's not that it's on in my car all the time, but just when you get in it, because I love the look on your face. To troll him.
That's excellent. Yeah. Well played. Well played.
So, what else is on your playlist?
I listen to a lot of 80s rap.
Okay.
Very nice.
So, Run DMC. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Beastie Boys.
Oh, Beastie Boys for my jam. Yeah. What else do I listen to? I just discovered WizKid in Love.
WizKid in Love.
Yep. No, I'm in love with WizKid.
Not on my playlist.
He's from Lago.
Okay.
Very cool. I listen to lots of Chris Stapleton. I listen to everything.
Oh, man, we're supposed to go see him in Chicago. Like, it's been delayed like 3 years now. It was originally going to be Jason Isbell, The High Women, and Chris Stapleton. But
now he's going to be at Pilgrimage, so you can just go down the road.
That would mean going to Pilgrimage, though.
Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
So, Carrie Ann, I know that you've taken on producing some new episodes here on Subsides and Smokes. I'd love for you to tell everybody about these exciting forthcoming episodes.
Forthcoming. So we are going to deep dive into agave spirits, mezcal, and all the cool things happening. Few of them actually make their way up here, and just really kind of chat through what all those different categories look like and things that are occasionally available some places.
Yeah.
And that, why that is.
That has really complicated our ability of, you know, covering mezcal is just, you know, this availability issue, you know. In fact, the one that I pulled out last night, I was looking at the label and they actually had the batch size and it's 628 liters in that batch, you know.
That's nothing.
It was an ancestral, you know, mezcal as well. So, which I don't find that batch size to be that unusual, but
it's nothing.
Yeah. And so that's the reason why it's like you bought that one bottle and you're never going to find
precious drops.
So, yeah. Well, I really enjoyed, you know, kind of getting to know Carrie Ann a little bit more. And we're going to take a break here in just a second. And we're going to come back and we'll talk about a topic worth discussing just briefly. So we'll kind of breeze through it.
Because it's just barely worth discussing.
You need your snow parka?
All that penguin dander.
Two penguins. Flip-flops. We'll be right back after this break.
Not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation of riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, welcome back to Sip, Suds, and Smokes. On today's chat episode, I'm chatting with good old gal Carrie Ann and with good old boy Sparky. And we've established that, you know, we're finally going to get around to mezcal, hopefully, sometime. And, it may happen this season or next season, but it is something we've been working on. And
by finally get around to it, you mean maybe?
It's happened to both of us, you know, around it. But we're both very committed of trying to find a great way to talk about, you know, a really interesting product in a way that I think that will help everybody kind of navigate and really embrace, you know, mezcal. Cause it's one of those things that sometimes you see it on the menu, you know, it's like, oh, you can have a mezcalita, you know? And it's like, no, really, God. It's not the point.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, for sure. Well, we always have an interesting topic worthy of discussion, and I love this one. It's called Now Hiring. Tired of mild winters and modern conveniences? Looking for that new gig? We know just the job for you. The UK Antarctic Heritage Trust charity is accepting applications for seasonal positions at its Port Lockroy base in Antarctica. The base is in need of personnel to take on several duties, including the following: running a post office and monitoring penguins.
Is that the same position or different ones?
And which one do you start the day off with? It's like one penguin, two penguin, three.
How many people are sending?
Let me
mail
sort that
to
postcard
Antarctica
for you.
Well, actually, tons of them, because they get a ton of tourists that stop there, and everybody wants to mail something from Antarctica.
Do they sell postcards at the gift shop?
I'm interested to know. They have other positions in case you don't want to do that, including the base leader. Hey, you people do your job. The shop manager and the general assistant to work at the gift shop and a post office. But the post office is only open for 4 months out of the year, between November to March. So the base was established in 1944, and probably the same stuff is still in the gift shop. Uh-huh. It's located on Goodyear Island in the Palmer Archipelago, west of the Antarctic Peninsula. Besides the average seasonal temperatures of minus 10 Celsius and minimal hours of darkness each day, living conditions for the workers will include limited power with no running water and no internet access.
Wait.
Yeah.
So hard pass. Job seekers.
How do you have limited power when it's 14 degrees?
You know,
I feel like I need all the power.
Yeah.
That's a lot of hand warmers you're going
to
be shaking off.
I'm dying to know the questions on the employment application or the job interview. Can you imagine these? It's like, so tell us about your vast experience counting penguins. Can you identify more than two zip codes?
On a scale of 1 to 10, how suicidal are you already?
Yeah, that was my first thought. Our turnover rate's pretty high. Why? Suicides.
Could
cool.
you please provide the list of your medications? You know,
why are there no sharp
they're
objects
not mail
here?
Order because you can
you know,
only get it for 4 months.
I think 100 milligrams of Xanax is probably going to disqualify you. So, you
know. Yeah. Do you like living in seasonal affective disorder? Well, then guess what? We've got the place for you.
I really want to know the items that are available in the gift shop. So, I mean, are they like, you know, tourist?
Well, they have to sell the postcards to keep the post office running.
Stamps,
obviously.
And stamps and postcards. And, you know, do they sell t-shirts? And what would be on those t-shirts? You know, things like...
I'm just guessing they sell things that are warm. Because people are going to show up there thinking they know what 14 degrees feels like.
Yeah.
And they're wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time. Layer.
I am going to look up to see if you can purchase any of the items through the gift shop online. So,
I mean, it should be like electric.
I mean, it'll probably take like 9 months to get here, but, you know. And I am going to suggest.
If you start now.
I want them to swap, you know, gift shop items with the Sasquatch Museum. Just to make it really, you know, more interesting, you know.
Electric underwear.
Yeah. Ooh. Kinky.
Yeah.
I like that.
Warm.
Yeah.
Well, we're swinging our conversation back to Sparky after, you know, a little bit of that discussion. We're going to talk about, you know, this job the rest of the day, I can tell. So I know that you were a band geek your whole life, but what made you pick the trombone, man?
Well, so I'm a multi-generational band nerd.
So dad and dad's dad? And
yeah.
Is that it?
So yeah, my dad actually was a conductor and he studied with Leonard Bernstein and he was a trombonist as well. Yeah, yeah. So there were just trombones
it's
laying
not
around.
Not a casual thing.
Drop.
No. So yeah, there were always trombones laying around. It's kind of like, you know, a gateway drug. You just pick one up and then kind of goes from there. So.
Huh. And so one of your children is picked up the trombone as well. Is that right? Or they're picked up a band instrument?
No, my son was kind of a COVID fatality in terms of like, well, that sounded bad. No, he started, he started clarinet, but you know what? Virtual band doesn't really work so much. So, but my daughter's actually playing cello now and she's crushing it. She's really doing a great job with that. I'm excited
there you
for
go.
Her.
That's hot.
Mm-hmm. And I always love a home that I walk into and there's a piano within sight right away. And there is, you have a piano that's right there in your dining room. And I've sat down and kind of, you know, tickled the keys a little bit and like, holy cow, you know?
It's Abby,
like,
and I sing the Archie Bunker theme song every morning, tickle actually. That's really? How we, yeah.
Is it, those were the days. So is that how you wake the kids up?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Caffeine, really caffeine and a show tune, a TV theme.
We like our show tunes.
All right, so the thing that I know that we talk about is you played the trombone while you were attending the lovely University of Tennessee. You was young. That long, slow, deep, like, that was such a bad decision.
Oh, my God. I was young. I needed scholarship money. I was willing to do things.
Should we hum Rocket Top?
I have a very different story.
For Carrie Ann? I mean, you know, since she's an Alabama fan, do we go,
we used to have a t-shirt.
Can I hum the We're National Champions?
Wow. Yeah. That's not happened to UT in any recent.
Another mic drop. So there you go.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Definitely not.
Yeah, actually, my dad invented the power tee. That was his contribution to UT's, the whole, like where they open up the tee and they move it down the field and stuff like that. I don't know.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
But I do know that when I hear Rocky Top, I get this tick in my left eye that won't stop, actually, until I stop hearing.
Does your arm start to move, through the notes, on the trombone?
Parts of me start to move, but not the ones you want them to. No,
I'd really like a solo performance.
Well, later. We'll make that happen for you.
So I love that you have this similar skill that Carrie Ann has, that you just really kind of adapt, to the situation. And, I guess one of the questions, do you really enjoy the challenge of doing such a wide variety of things, You seem to kind of thrive at it,
Yeah, I don't think I try to do that. I just think I get thrown into these situations and try to figure out the best way. I've always been really good at solving for X when I'm in a situation. Mm. Always like a challenge.
Well, I think it's an admirable trait. And, I've seen a lot of people, they just don't have that, And, they love to get up every day and do the same thing, for 30 or 40 years. And if you push them
that button.
Buzzer. I'm sorry. Yeah. There we go. Getting with the program here, I think that's, a trait that when just not a lot of people do that. And there are even fewer people that do that well. And I think both of you, I think do that very well.
Thanks.
That even as you're tossed into the deep end, sometimes voluntarily, sometimes involuntarily, that, it's
at
just
gunpoint.
I'm an army brat.
You find a way from A to B.
It's in the blood.
And I really love that. And, it's always, it's interesting to see somebody work their way through those situations, as well. And so
interesting or surprising that we're still here to talk about it.
or just bad judgment.
Survival.
Well, I thought it was an interesting moment that both you and Carrie Ann were buyers at different distributors at the same time. And I enjoyed it when you guys would actually talk shop and hear about all the dysfunction, in the alcohol industries. So, Sparky, you were
talking about what dysfunction?
Like on an hourly basis or, yesterday or, So I know that you were working beer and ushering in these newfangled products called hard seltzer.
Oh, man.
So did you think the wave of interest in hard seltzer would actually last this long?
No, I mean, I could kind of see the arc of the product, as it was going to crest and then go back down again. But yeah, it's just like any other, it'll be something tomorrow, right? It's not going to be around forever. And gosh, I guess the younger generations aren't really into booze as much as Soul Crusty.
Now we have a bunch of teetotaling Gen Z people.
Oh, I love this because it only has 10 calories.
And I'm sorry, these dry bars that are opening up, oh my God.
That's called a McDonald's.
Yeah, why would you want to? Oh man, we have an entire tap listing of non-alcoholic products. Cool.
So does 7-Eleven.
I can actually hear the birth rate plummeting.
Yeah. We're in trouble, folks.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
We're in big
there
trouble.
Is no way the birth rate is going to be maintained
or
through non-alcoholic
self-correction
products.
Because we're very overpopulated. Zero population growth. Woo.
We did it. We did it for all the wrong reasons.
Countries that should lower their birth rate.
Yeah.
This one.
Open up non-alcoholic bars. Problem solved.
So I read it out, Carrie Ann, earlier with one of her interesting traits. Now it's your turn. I really love this one.
Uh-oh.
So tell us all about the order of the stuffed olive.
Oh, well, gosh. So I have a couple of friends. I was in music education for a minute in college, and I have several friends who are band directors and orchestra directors, and they all
that
love...
That doesn't sound geeky at all.
No, it's totally not. But I still keep up with them. And we all happen to be martini aficionados. And notice I said martini because that includes gin, not a kangaroo, which includes vodka and is not a martini. but anyway, we all love martinis with stuffed olives. And so we're always trading ideas back and forth on what to stuff olives with our martinis. And, you know, blue cheese is my favorite for a classic, but we go down pretty down the rabbit hole. But we always call upon each other to toast our crappy work weeks with a delightful martini at the end. So,
and I have to credit, you know, Sparky for really forcing me to sit down and stuff my own, you know, olives with blue cheese. I used to buy them, you know, already pre-stuffed, not even remotely close.
Yeah,
you know, but just don't do that. Just go ahead, take the time, sit down and use fresh blue cheese and, or I should say, nice stinky blue cheese.
Stinky blue cheese, yeah.
I'm just a lemon zest kind of girl, sorry.
There's nothing wrong with that. I respect that. I respect a Gibson game, man. Go for it.
So if you could make just one cocktail for the rest of the life, what would it be and why?
Just a classic gin martini. I mean, that's really when it's done the right way, and oh my God, there's nothing more perfect to me.
That layer of ice on
top. Oh, right on the top? Yeah.
Perfection.
Oh my God.
I love that.
Nice chilled glass. Oh, getting goosebumps right now. Getting thirsty. Hey, does anybody want some seaweed gin? Because guess what? I know a guy.
I know a guy for sure. Yeah.
I gave it up for Lit.
Well, I am such a huge fan of the late James Lipton from Actor Studio and always wish that I could have answered those closeout questions. But now it's going to be your turn to answer these as well. So I'll start with Sparky. What's your favorite word?
Moist.
Carrie Ann, what's your least favorite word?
No.
Ooh, I like that one too. Yeah, that works. Sparky, what turns you on?
A light switch.
Ooh.
Why am I getting all the negative questions? A light switch.
Carrie Ann, what turns you off?
Ignorance.
Ooh. I was thinking of a gender, but anyway.
I mean, it's correlated.
Facts.
So I'll switch it up here. So, Carrie Ann, what sound or noise do you love?
The sound of your voice, Mike.
Oh,
wow, man.
Get deep fast.
I would like a raise.
I'll double your current salary. Nice. There we go. So, Sparky, what sound or noise do you hate?
Oh, this when you take a fork and scratch it at the bottom of a bowl like that
yes.
Porcelainy scratching noise.
Just horrible. I think that is really horrible. So, but you both get to answer this one, Sparky. What's your favorite curse word?
The one that starts with a C and that is okay in Britain.
Oh, you can say it. You can say it here on this episode.
In Britain and Australia, totally fine. Not okay in the United States of America.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's such a powerful word.
It rhymes with punt.
So powerful. Yes. Yes, okay. It does.
All right.
Yes.
Yep. So, Carrie Ann, what's your favorite curse word?
Anybody that knows me knows my favorite curse word is
yep. Also rhymes with cluck. All right. So there you go. For those of you that heard the beeped version.
Yeah.
So let's see, Carrie Ann, what profession other than you own would you like to attempt?
I would like to be the reincarnated Anthony Bourdain.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Of distilleries.
Okay.
Is that far enough away from my current profession?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can get there.
Yeah.
In the next life.
TV producers, call me.
Yeah. Holler at your girl.
There's time.
Ain't no holla back.
You could still do that.
I could still do that.
Yeah.
Just getting started.
All right, Sparky. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Wow. I don't know.
He loves dealing with crazy people, so.
I know, but you know what? Speaking to therapists is kind of like that, actually. So,
the booze industry.
Yeah.
It's all crazy people.
Yeah, it really is. You know, when I started, I remember the guy that ran the place said, like, you're entering an industry of an entire team of C-grade all-stars. And I was like, and I would never realize that would be more true.
Were you grateful that he told you that up front, or that, you know,
well,
that they weren't worse in C?
He was, yeah. Yeah. So one, I'm like, oh, that can't be that bad. I'm always very optimistic. It can't be that bad. Oh, no. It was that bad and so much more. Yeah. Yeah. Even worse, perhaps.
Is there an answer in there?
Yes.
Well, it's really great stuff, and that's going to wrap it up for today's chat episode. I want to thank my co-host for being here today and reminding us just how interesting it is to have you each on the microphone. Good old boy Sparky, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. Do I get to come out of the basement?
It's been a while since we, you know, dropped a note about your blog. I still love the name of your blog, Parenting While Intoxicated. I know it's been a while since you've gone back and revisited it, but
yeah, I need to get back on that.
Yeah, it really is a lot of fun. Carrie Ann, thanks for joining us, and tell us all about things at Straight Up 615.
I'm about to have a lot to say about a few things, and you can find it on straightup615.com.
That's cool. So mysterious.
Well, thanks for joining us for this chats episode today. I will ask you to come back, enjoy another episode of Sip Sudden Smokes, and to keep on sipping.
But not seaweed gin.
For sure. Please don't do that.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.